Lou, how are you, man?
Good. How are you?
I'm excellent. Tarasenko gets a pair, and the Blues get a victory. I wasn't able to watch any of that game because I was watching the Leafs and the Senators, and then, of course, the order game live in Edmonton. Was this a convincing victory by the St. Louis Blues in your eyes?
Well, the score may have said that, but that was anybody's game up until the last few minutes. I mean, really, if you think about it, the Blues they won the special teams battle last night, scoring three power play goals and getting an early one in the third period that finally put them ahead in that game. I mean, they were playing catch-up for most of that game. They really, if you think about it, they came out of that second period tied 2-2, but probably deserved, if you wanted to call the score what it is, that second period was probably indicative of it. They weren't able to generate anything until Tarasenko scored late in the second to tie it up, but they really dominated that period, and unfortunately, Gay had a bad bounce go against them that put Chicago back up front. But for long stretches of that game, they were able to dominate. But you know, it was a 3-2 game until they got a couple of empty netters late, and you know, one shot here, and it's a tie game, and you never know what happens. But there's going to be some kinks in the armor, and Ken Hitchcock has said that with this group, but. You know, anytime you can go into Chicago and take 2 points, you've got to be happy with it, especially going into that building and as well as they usually play there. So good start for them, but they're kind of keeping it low-key right now. They got another big one tonight and want to keep this ball rolling.
Well, the thing they had to be happy about, they scored on, I think, their first three power plays, right? You get three power play goals, Shattenkirk, Tarasenko, and Stastny. And any night, if you can get three on the man advantage, especially against a team like Chicago, who's historically been pretty decent penalty-killing team, they will take that. You look at Shattenkirk, he had 3 points last night, Lou, and that's going to be a season-long question surrounding Shattenkirk and his future in St. Louis. And, man, you get 3 points on opening night. I know there's a lot of people there that want to re-sign him. What do you think ultimately happens with Shattenkirk and the Blues contract-wise?
That's a good question. It's a million-dollar question here, too. I mean, I think in the perfect world, the Blues would love to keep him. I mean, there's no question about that. He brings so much to them from their blue line offensively. I mean, let's make no mistake about it. He's an offensive type of defenseman, and you know, I know if anytime you ask a player that, they kind of resent the fact that you label him as one-dimensional. But let's face it, he's a better offensive defenseman than he is, say, defending the puck. So, and that's something that I think he likes to take pride in. But, you know, they'd love to keep him here, but let's be realistic. You know, there's a good chance that that won't happen, and that's the world that we live in when you talk about the salary cap. And, you know, they're maxed out in dollars right now. They're maxed out at the cap, and with bringing in Nail Yakupov, now they're up against it. A little under $1 million available there. And I know you're going to have guys coming off the books next year, but, you know, then there's also other players that are going to be due raises. I mean, you're talking about Robbie Fabry, who's going to be coming to a close here pretty soon with his entry-level deal. Colton Parayko's another one. I mean, you have to look long-term down the road here and where you can squeeze these dollars in. They're already paying, you know, in excess of $7 million to Petrangelo. You've got a big contract there with Bouwmeester, and they view Parayko as a long-term fit here, and he's going to wind up commanding some big dollars down the road too. So there's a lot that goes into it. Now, what's the market going to command for Shattenkirk? That's a good question. What does he feel like he deserves? You know, these are all things that need to be asked. They need to be answered, and that's why I'm glad I'm not Doug Armstrong right now, because, you know, he's got a heck of a dilemma on his hands here. But, you know, for this team to really move forward and succeed, I would certainly think if it was my decision and I had the choice to make here, I think you've got to keep this guy long-term.
Lou, you mentioned Doug Armstrong, and he's been collecting former Oilers. Like, you look in the projected lineup against Minnesota tonight, David Perron, Magnus Pjärvi, I guess, is going in, Kyle Brodziak, and, of course, Nail Yakupov. We all know about Yakupov here. He's in St. Louis now. Some observers wonder how a guy who plays a little bit all over the place like Nail Yakupov is going to survive in the regime of a coach like Ken Hitchcock, who has a way he wants the game played. How did he look the first time out, and what's that situation seem like to you?
You know, I'll be quite honest with you. I thought he did fine last night. I mean, he played about 10 and a half minutes, and what they're going to do with him is they're just going to bring him in slowly. They're not going to try to overwhelm him with too much information, and I think that's probably the worst thing that they could do. The difference here is the personnel and the team, they're going to accept him with open arms. They know what kind of strengths that he does bring to the team, and they're going to try to highlight that to begin with here. They're going to play him 5-on-5. They're not going to overwhelm him right now with a whole lot of expectations of you got to go out and you've got to produce this and you've got to produce that. And they haven't utilized him on the power play yet. And I think eventually that's going to come. But, you know, with two practices and then go out there and play a season opener might have been a little bit too much. So they started him out on the third line, put him out there with a Patrick Berglund and played him with Dmitri Eshkin last night. And just to let him get his feet wet, you know, and he said all the right things so far. And, you know, I don't know what he was like up there dealing with in Edmonton, but everything that I've heard of, that, you know, he was a great character to deal with up there. So character-wise, it may all be there, but I just think that they want to teach him the X's and O's of how they want to play the game here. And I know that that may be a bit of a head-scratcher when you're talking about a number one overall pick, that you have to start teaching him sort of the X's and O's of the game, but they're going to do that. They're going to be patient with him, and you don't necessarily associate that with a Ken Hitchcock, a veteran type of a coach, but he understands what he's getting and he knows what he dealt with up there. And they just want to alleviate the pressure from him. They just want to let him come here, play hockey, not think about too much other stuff, not think about expectation, forget about the fact that you were a number one overall pick and all that sort of stuff. They dealt with that with Eric Johnson here. They wound up trading away Eric Johnson, and he's gone on and had a pretty decent career so far in Colorado. So they're kind of hoping in that situation where a change of scenery is going to do him good. And so far, so good. And eventually, if they start seeing flashes of him and of what he can do and put him in situations where he can thrive, maybe he moves up the ladder and starts playing with more prominent players. And I think that's the long-term goal here, is to start playing him with some veteran guys that can get him the puck and get him in situations where he can shoot it.
Lou Korak joins us, a St. Louis Blues beat reporter. Well, Lou, looking at, do you see an opening? So if he's going to move up in the top six, who's coming out?
Well, that's the million-dollar question, and I would think that if anybody is going to move around, and when I say move down, I don't necessarily mean a demotion, but the guy that I think that could probably move down and really highlight your third line is a guy like a Robbie Fabry. He did that last year where they it just depended on who they put him with. Whoever they put him with, that line seemed to really take off. And I think if you take a guy like Fabry and maybe move him with a Berglund and throw a David Perron on that line, I think you've got yourself a pretty good third line there. And now you've got some balance where, you know, opposing teams are going to have to look at this team and go, you know, this is pretty three daunting scoring lines. Who do we focus in on? And I think that's what they're really going to look at. You know, they've got interchangeable parts here. They move Alex Steen around. They've got him playing on the right side right now. Eventually, I think they're going to wind up putting him back on the left. When Jaden Schwartz comes back, he's going to have to slot in somewhere. So David Perron right now is taking up a spot with Tarasenko and with Jori Lehterä, and I think eventually that's where Jaden Schwartz is going to be. So you move Perron down. Maybe if Yakupov winds up giving you what they're looking for, maybe you take a Fabry off of that top line and let him play on that right side and put Steen on the left, and you got Stastny in center, and we all know that Paul Stastny can get you the puck. So, you know, there's some ideas that they have here, but like I said, they're going to take their time on this, and if there's going to be some growing pains with him, they're willing to deal with it, and they're willing to bring him along slowly. But they're really not going to overwhelm him with anything. But if everything falls into place, I think they can wind up having a pretty good top nine, and they'll be a team that's going to be tough to deal with.
One last one for me, Lou. Colton Parayko, sort of a coming out party last season in my mind. It's very early, big strong kid. Your thoughts on him, and talk about where you're going to put him. You got an awful strong top four, but he looks capable of playing a lot of minutes down the line too.
Well, that's what it is. They view him as obviously as a top two, top three guy, and I think that's where you get a lot of the talk right now that, you know, Shattenkirk could be a guy that could be on the move from this team. And, you know, you right now on this team, the strength of their blue line is along their right side. And that's why you've got a guy like, you know, nobody talks a whole lot about Robert Bortuzzo, but right now he's You know, he came into camp as the seventh guy, and he's the fourth guy on that right side, and he's having a hard time. Although he did start last night, he's going to be a healthy scratch tonight for Carl Gunnarsson. That's why he's having a tough time getting in, and they've been playing Bortuzzo on that right side because Parayko's going to command those minutes. I mean, he's already playing over 20 minutes a game. He's got a big booming shot from the points. I've from a lot of the people, especially the visiting teams that come in here, people that I talk to, they all compare his shot to an Al MacInnis. I mean, that's pretty high praise right there. He's got his defensive awareness is impeccable. I mean, this is a guy that, you know, you're talking 6'5", 6'6", that good. You don't want to see it, but he could get away with a mistake. When he makes a mistake, his recovery is impeccable. I've seen it happen a number of times. Not that he makes mistakes often, but he's got such a well-rounded game, and that's what I mean. When his contract is up, they're gonna have to look at giving him a hefty raise because they really view him in that Pietrangelo category as a long-term guy that's going to be in this franchise for a number of years to come.
Well, I remember Ken Hitchcock told me last season he thinks Parayko will be a 30-minute-a-night guy within 2 years, which is, and Ken Hitchcock doesn't throw around compliments like that very often. So Parayko, he's got the whole package.
Sorry.
Yeah, and when you throw in the size, like to be like outside of Duncan Keith, who's a freak, who's that small, to be able to play that many minutes, like Shattenkirk couldn't be successful playing 28, 29 minutes a night. He'd wear down, but Pareko's big enough, he can do it.
Absolutely, and that's why, you know, they've got to find minutes for this guy. And, you know, just looking at tonight alone, he's going to be playing the third-line pairing with Joel Edmondson. And, you know, he's jumped up the ladder so far. There's only certain type of guys, and Ken Hitchcock has mentioned this a number of times to us whenever we talk to him. There's only so many players that could play 25 to 30 minutes a night, and he's one of those guys. And, again, they're working him into the mid to the low to mid 20s right now. Eventually you're going to be talking about him playing mid to upper 20s and even into the 30 minutes, like you said. And you're right, Ken Hitchcock just doesn't throw that kind of praise around to anybody, but he's not kidding when he's talking about this kid. He's got all the tools, and he's only going to get better.
Lou, we appreciate the rundown. Enjoy the game back to back, getting you right into the swing of things early on in the season.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, this is a lot of teams are talking about getting their start tonight, and I'm thinking, who are you kidding? We're on game number two already, and the home opener tonight, the crowd was pretty jacked up about beating Chicago. Any time you beat Chicago in this city, it's a big thing, and it'll bring out a certain excitement in this crowd here tonight, and another big Central Division test on the way, and we'll see how these guys recover, because Minnesota was here sitting and waiting for the Blues, and they had to tax themselves for a good long period of that game. And fortunately for them, Jake Allen's going to go back again tonight, but he only saw 19 shots. So it's not like he got an overload of work last night. So he should be fresh and ready to go, and should be another good one here tonight.
Wow, he's going back-to-back to start the year. Interesting move by Ken Hitchcock. Lou, we appreciate your time. Thanks.
Thank you for having me. Take care.